I think this also making me think about what's going on next door, that there are objects and there are certain combinations of objects that you could call sculptures. There are things that look, you know, they exist in their own right. But I'd like to think that we've created an environment and we've created a kind of, almost like we've created a context within which to view those individual objects, that everything is, or not everything, but parts are feeding in and affecting these other objects. That we talked a lot, we started to refer to it as conversations.
Yeah.
That the conversation that's going on between those objects over there, or that's not quite working, or they're too far away, or, you know, so it's, yeah, trying to think about that almost, maybe it sounds a bit simplistic, but to think about that gallery space as a site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's really true, yeah.
It's interesting that you talk about the relationship with objects, because as an art historian, there's also a very strong investment in particular objects. And often the best works of art history, even in canonical studies, is where the art historian has some kind of very personal or rooted investment in the object you're talking about, whether it's Renaissance sculpture or could be, you know, regardless of how objective it might seem, there's always some kind of impulse that leads to knowledge. And it's almost like a relationship between people sometimes, between the historian and the artwork. It's like a relationship between people. It's a sort of empathetic relationship. So it's a similar kind of thing that you're talking about with archaeology and being interested in people's relationship with things. It's a similar kind of relationship we have with artwork, I think.
Yeah,
that's right.
I think, again, we had a lot of conversations about sort of imagining or hoping that those objects would speak in a certain way or embodied something. It was always this thing of trying. It was difficult to articulate because it was sort of, it's not about words. It's this, like the piles or the little slice of wood that the tree grew there and it absorbed something, and then the hope is that maybe it would give out some information, but that, you know, I don't know what it is, but it's kind of like this symbol, I guess. I'm trying to think that these things would be symbols and they would have implied knowledge.
Yeah. Can I sort of press you a bit more there and ask whether, as an artist, is there a point at which you think, well, I'm starting to make art now. I'm not just investigating something or gathering information or engaging, but I'm actually, there's a point at which this is art now. Is there a point where that becomes...
Yeah, and it was quite obvious during the week that we started making a show and thinking, oh, this has got to... The space was quite kind of chaotic and messy and, it was quite rich for us, but maybe we were a bit worried that it might not be very accessible. And then there became, I think, definitely for me, I don't know about you, but there was a sort of self-consciousness. And I maybe feel a little bit uncomfortable with that it's like, oh, I've got to show it now. And so it possibly then starts to fall into formula. But in terms of actually, so that's in relation to kind of displaying, knowing that that's going to be shown. But in terms of in the studio, when it's a more private thing, I don't know if there's a point.
Is there a point? Does it sometimes become apparent retrospectively? You might look back and go, well, something happened there. I wasn't aware of it at the time, but.
I suppose the hope is that I feel like I'm making art all the time, which sounds really pompous, but hopefully do something. It's like, maybe that'll be a piece of work, but sometimes it's not. But so I suppose it's a judgment retrospectively. Yeah.
But I think it's always continually feeding itself. I don't think, you know, you don't pick up something to not use, or, you know, maybe it's something quite, you know, left field, but it's still kind of feeding into what you're doing. So I don't think there is such a distinction between.
Yeah, I suppose in thinking back to the room next door, there was a feeling and we sort of discussed it. We said we'll bring work and we'll bring objects, and somehow those objects have been incorporated into this installation. So are they now art, or are they still... Because, I mean, I have objects in my studio that are just objects. They're definitely objects. They're things that I have there, and I look at them and they give me something. But they're definitely... They're not art. They're things that... they kind of inspire me, or I'm curious about them. They puzzle me, so I have them in there because I want to just keep thinking about them. But they're not art.
When they come into relationship... with other objects in a kind of conscious way, into a sort of assemblage, is at that point presumably they could become art.
Yeah.
And
but these objects are usually the things that I just can't, I don't know what to do with. They're like problem children in my studio, and I like to keep them there because they I like that sort of problem. I like that questioning.
But I think it's okay for our show, well, our space to be self-conscious. I think that's really quite a natural thing to come to. You know, we've spent quite an intense week in there, and then for us to then think about how we want our objects and artworks to speak in a kind of coherent language, I don't think it's a case of sterile curation or kind of sterilizing the space. I think it's more a form of the communication or assemblage of objects in there. Yeah.